Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show that's powered by Acast. Now, I just want to say something in terms of... Oh, the name of the show, of course.
Hang on now.
I have a good one.
See, every time you just throw it in going, oh, by the way.
I have a good one.
What about this? Okay. Mosnia Herzegovina.
It's not bad, yeah, go on.
Quite clumsy.
Kilty Marnock. Or Benfical.
Benfical is not bad. Hector, do you have any...
I think I've been quite dominant in the last couple of weeks.
Dominant.
Well,
regarding the names of the show, I did see one. I can't think of it.
Great, that's good. I have I have one. Are you ready for this one?
Okay.
I think this is a goer this week.
Right.
Bayer Leverkusen.
What? See, we did that the other day.
No, Kusen outside that lawn.
Oh!
Because we had Bayer Leverkusen. No, Bayer Leverkusen. Bayer Leverkusen.
It's good.
Apart from that, we have an affinity with Kusen.
And he did.
Hello, I'm pulling the bow into Kusen up along the behind the Jolly Mariner. That was the name of the harbour in Athlone. The Jolly Mariner.
No, that was the name of the pub beside the harbour.
Oh, the Jolly Mariner was the pub beside the harbour.
Oh, we spent plenty of time there.
But just sometimes.
We have to try and get Monksland into a show one week.
Why?
That's where we spent all our time.
Monksland? In Athlone or Farnamanach. So sometimes ads get put on the show, and I'm sure you've heard them. They get the distribution is just a. We wouldn't be in control of the ads that get put in, you know. And because this podcast is broadcast in England, sometimes we get English ads. And just in the terms of balance, it's important to say that maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, unbeknownst to us, there was an ad if you wanted to join the British Army. So just in the interest of balance, I just think we should say, if you're interested in joining the IRA, I don't even
the FCA.
But what? I don't even know. Like, what are the IRA doing now?
Lying in bed in the morning.
They might be still running.
Looking out the window, not much to do.
I think they're going to landscape gardening.
Watching a
or
bit.
Or Termacadam.
Do an ad for the IRA there. Watching Dr. Phil too much at 11 o'clock in the morning. Nothing to hope for during the day.
That old balaclava just gathering dust.
Pulling the quilt up round your head too often. Join the IRA.
Be everything that you can be and blow up shit.
Could you imagine? You could see them coming around.
Do you like science class?
Oh, okay. So it's anyway, Bayer Leverkusen.
And, I like
that. I'll get into that in a minute now.
Right.
We have some posts. Now, people are just sending us shit.
If you didn't say last week, don't send us anything. Now we're getting more.
Tommy hit on it last week when he said people are just sending their randomness address. Hector Larita, Tommy Tiernan, Gluten Free House, three old friends in a shed at the bottom of the garden on the road to Spittle, Galway City. If that was sent to forensics, who's going to open that?
I'm not.
No,
go on, you open it.
Leave it. Leave it.
Go on, open it.
Yesterday, we're recording this podcast on a Monday. Yesterday was the nicest day of sunshine. That last day of February was the nicest day of sunshine. And I believe I had sort of a perfect day. A perfect day.
Such a perfect day.
Like, I got up.
I'm
got
glad
up in the...
I spent it with you.
Such a perfect day. I keep you carry
hands. You just keep me... No. That's Mike Denver recovering from
insert your perfect
tonsillitis.
So tell us about your perfect day.
I got up yesterday morning.
What time?
This about 9:30.
And are you still sleeping in the nip?
Yes, I am. I'm sleeping like a baby. My REM and my fast.
Babies don't sleep that much.
I'm sleeping like a baby. And I got a
good up at 9:30.
Up at 9:30, new pair of jocks on. And down I went downstairs. T-shirt, pair of jeans, no socks on because I'm feeling the earth. I'm feeling the earth.
All right.
That kind of Claire Galway surfer vibe.
Jesus samples.
I go downstairs, I had a lovely bit of brown bread and a cup of tea, and then I went for a run, and the sun was beautiful. I came back to the house, the boys pottered off to play some AstroTurf football, I allowed them, and then the missus said she's going for a walk, and I said I'll do the dinner. So I got a lovely little bit of roast stuffed pork, and I did roast potatoes.
Lovely.
And we had peas, gravy, carrot and parsnips, and we had applesauce. Man United were playing Chelsea. That was a bit of a cap, but I had every window in the house open. Then I said to the missus, she said, I better go down and get the paper. She said, do you want anything? And I said, will you get us a selection of classic ice pops? And I said, she said, what ones?
Classic ice pops.
I said,
legendary.
Legendary. I said, she like, do you want banana? Have we enough bananas?
That's the type of thing, Hector. If you're on fucking death row on your last meal and they're like, just get me a selection of classic ice pops.
I love it.
I'm sorry, sir.
You heard me, motherfucker. I want a chalk ice, a loop the loop. I want a fucking magnum.
She was going out the door and I said, what else do we need? Oh, we need bananas. We need milk. Get them a few bagels. Yeah, I said, get me a selection of classic ice pops. She said, tell me. And I said, get me a brunch.
Yes.
Get me a chalk ice and get a couple of Cornettos. And if they have a wibbly wobbly wonder.
Oh, no, they don't. Do you
know the way they execute you in America? They have you on a cross. It's kind of I can just fucking see you there walking down to get killed for a crime that you didn't commit. They're only killing you because you're black. And you're going down and you're fucking... fuck you, you bunch of cunts. I didn't do it. You have a fucking Cornetto on one hand.
I'm innocent.
I'm going to eat me brunch. You have anything to say to the victims' families? Yeah, it wasn't me. Now... No me brunch. So, fucking switch her up there, you cunt. I'm still here.
Give me brunch. Me brunch fell out of me hand.
Electric Cornetto in one hand.
It was a perfect day. And then we had the dinner. Everyone loved the dinner. The boys went in and went on Xbox. We had Netflix to ourselves. Oh, and then last night at about 9:15, the fire was on. And I shouted to me young lad, I said, Shane, what? Go in there to the kitchen and get a brunch for your dad. He comes in then and he fires a brunch into me and he's eating a chalk ice and he went, who got these? I said, Mom got a selection of classic ice pops. He says, this fucking lovely, he said. I said, I know it is. So I got down, I got off the couch. This was the end of my perfect day. I got off the couch. I sat on the carpet in front of the fire. I nudged me back into me missus. I had a brunch watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Your mum was on 125,000 euro and the missus started scratching the inside of me shoulder and I said, this is a fucking perfect fucking day.
Who was the first famous person that you ever saw in the flesh? Can you recall who it was? I remember growing up and my granny said to me that she saw Hurricane Higgins in the foyer of a hotel in Newbridge and she went over to say hello and he told her to fuck off.
No way.
The first famous person that I ever saw in the flesh, I think, I was kind of raking back through my mind. Like, it used to be in Galway in the late 1980s, the Stunning were famous. And I remember standing beside Joe Wall in Easton's. Joe Wall used to play the bass with the Stunning. I remember standing beside him looking at him going, he's the coolest.
He's always cool. Joe Wall has never aged.
Yeah, Joe Wall is... He's
so fucking leather jacket.
Leather
cool
jacket.
Cool as fuck.
I think the first famous person that I ever saw was Mike Scott from the Waterboys.
Oh.
And I'm not talking about going to a gig now. I lived out on Inishmore for a little while in 1988
And but you were grown up then. Was there? Did you not meet anyone famous or see anyone famous when you were first, young?
No, we don't see anyone.
Patrick Kavanagh's brother, Peter Kavanagh, came to Navan to talk about
to the
him.
School.
But he really wasn't famous.
He came to talk about him.
We got into horror trouble.
We got
that
bad
day.
Trouble that day.
Go on, tell us.
Come on.
So, okay.
No, this is a big deal now because Kavanagh was a big deal for
poetry. Of course.
So, Patrick Kavanagh's brother was going round giving talks about his brother. And we had a fella in our school. His surname was Cantwell and his nickname was Cancer. That was his name. Cancer. And that's, you always go,
Cancer.
We know we didn't associate with the disease.
Yes, I guess.
Alan Cantwell.
Yes.
What we call him? Cancer.
All right, Cancer.
There's a fella called AIDS in first year. But anyway, so Cancer was there. Anyway. So
were we third year, Tommy, or fourth year?
I can't remember what year it was, but Patrick Kavanagh's brother, a big fucking deal, like, was the poet's best friend and stuff like that. But fuck me, he wasn't a man to give a dynamic
speech
presentation.
We were all called into a big...
It was in the science room with the tiered seating.
Yeah, it was a big deal for us to go into the science room and it wasn't for science. It was like a lecture.
A lecture about Patrick Kavanagh. Anyway, it went fucking on and 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 wouldn't fucking stop. Just on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So we lost interest after the first few ons. On and on and on and on. On and on and on and on. We were bored, and then we started getting giddy, and then the teacher said, "Would anybody like to ask?
Oh, no.
Would anybody like to ask a question?" And a few cunts ask questions. Why did you take my wife? And then one fella says, "What did your brother die of?" And Peter said, "Cancer." And we all just went, "Cancer." We were fucking dead. Half of us were dead. We were bit fucking dead. He couldn't understand why we were all going.
Why you were laughing?
Yeah.
Did she get in awful trouble? That was the end of the questions.
But he was the only person I can recall from my childhood that might have been famous. But Mike Scott then was the first person, and I remember. So they came to Inishmore to do a gig, and so we all kind of went down to the pier when the boat was coming in. And I was standing maybe a snooker table's length away from him, and I remember just going, fuck me. Because you know when you see somebody famous,
of course, yeah.
And it's almost like they have a big, big, huge face, and it's shrunk down to this human size.
When you see them.
Yeah, and I kind of go, how can so big a face be so small and human? I'm fucking staring at him going and thinking to myself, it must be the coolest thing in the world to be Mike Scott from The Waterboys. So he was the first person I ever saw. Can you think of anybody?
No, I don't know. I suppose because we played football then it would have been like, I remember your man came, the Offaly footballer, you know, what's his name?
Darby. Seamus Darby.
He came to Knockmore for a dinner dance when I think he went missing for half the night. The speeches was going on and everyone's like, where's Seamus gone? Where's Seamus? Seamus was gone up the town. Yeah.
Seamus got bored. I read
that. That'd be a good documentary now for the podcast. You know, because the Where's George Gibney one was very popular. So we go, where's Seamus Darby?
I read his book. His book was phenomenally honest and he would have a little shot of brandy before a match. Imagine. So if he had a shot of brandy before a match, I can imagine what he was like going down to
Knockmore. Before the dinner dance.
But you see, it wasn't a push. It was a little nudge in the hips. And if you look at it, it wasn't a push. It was always made out to be a push, but it was a lovely little nudge. And you see it all the time.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a nudge that changed an empire.
Yeah.
I don't know who I saw. I don't know, obviously going to a gig. My first ever gig was seeing Big Country in 1983 in the RDS. We all went up in the bus. I saw the look up at see Stuart Adamson and the boys. Yeah. But did I tell you that T.R. Dallas came to the house once?
No.
T.R. Dallas
came. He came to our show, but...
T.R. Dallas drove into our... We were out playing football at the time at the Pantries. My family would have a connection. My mum used to work in Athlone in Shannon.
I know Gary, the son. No, there you go. He lives in Ballina.
There you go.
T.R.'s son, yeah.
My
Dad would always stop in Brendan Shines before
Gary Dallas.
Gary.
What the fuck did he do?
Yeah, he plays for Leeds.
He's not bad player. What's your name?
Then who walks in there? Gary fucking Dallas. With the fucking cowboy hat and spangles on his balls. I said, hey, glitter balls. Gary fucking Dallas.
Yeah, fucking Gary Dallas. I said, sit yourself down, Gary. There's plenty to go around here.
Yeah.
I feel like we're on Emmerdale.
He used to say that when he was coming, you know. He shout out his own name as he ejaculated.
No, he's from Newcastle, is he, man?
He'd be driving in. Where am I from now? Oh, my God. Delhi Grind.
We were out with the size 5 at the bunch of palm trees that we used as goals, and we were kicking ball, and then all of a sudden this Mercedes pulled into the driveway. It wasn't a driveway, it was like just in the gate. We didn't have a driveway, we had just a fucking a cement wall with this rackety old fucking type of fucking
five barrel gate.
You know the ones you get the ornate, yeah. And we used to have to paint it every year, and then and there was a sort of a middle of it where the cars drove in, and T.R. Dallas gets out of the car. Well, when the door opened, I could see a Stetson in the back. At the back, you know where your man from fucking Churchill, the insurance guy,
the dog.
There was a fucking Stetson there, and I was like, "Boys, hey, have a look at this." Well, the door opened, and the foot came out, and it was a cowboy boot.
Stop it!
And he had a suit on. And
did you think the gig was in your house or something?
He got out with the car, and he was fucking huge, huge man. Well, boys, well, lads, well, boys. And then all of a sudden, Mickey came out and my mum came out and there was hugs and everything. And T.R. Dallas came into my house for a cup of tea and he put on the Stetson as he walked to the house. And I was just going, because the only man I had ever seen the Stetson was Larry Hagman, was J.R. I was only 7 or 8. And I'm going, the fuck is this? That's magnificent. Look at the Stetson on your man. And then he pulled across the sliding door of the patio, because we always had a front door, but then we decided in Ireland we'd better off putting another door outside the front door to keep the heat in the house. It was a sliding door. You know, the sliding door. Yes, and then you'd have to put
a lot of people know with patios at the back of the house.
Yes.
But not the Kilguns.
No,
we have it at the front so people can see.
We have the front door, but we're now going to put this thing called double glazing at the front of the fucking front door. And we're going to have an area in there that's a solidified pocket of and it'll keep the house warm.
And you can put the plants in there and all,
you can put the plants in. And there was always a little latch to go up or a latch to go down.
Yes,
and he went in and he looked around at me and he just winked at me and he had the Stetson on and a white cream suit and he just pulled the patio door behind him and we went, how fucking cool is that?
Now, did you know who he was when he was walking?
I knew he was a country singer. I knew, because my dad always used to stop in Brendan Shines and Athlone to have a chat with Brendan.
And they're from Patios.
All that sort of stuff. And the Athlone Moat with my godmother, all our godmothers and godfather were from Moat, just outside in Mantemple. We'd always affinity with Moat and that area, Eamon Coughlin's and the old Shebeen and all them pubs, we and the Tanyard and the Grand Hotel.
That's why you were so drawn to Moat lately. Yes.
So we'd have an affinity round there, and then
and did you get a picture with them?
I don't remember, but I just thought that's probably T.R. Dallas. It was fucking huge back in the day. But after that, I don't remember seeing. Obviously, as you
get older,
go older, you meet other people. But imagine that, pulling in a Mercedes car to your house.
And he must have been on his way to.
He was on his way to a gig.
That's right. That's why he had the costume.
He was on his way to a gig.
Costume.
T.R. Dallas.
Is there anything that you love doing that you can't do, but you want to do it anyway? If that makes sense. Yes, it does.
Oh, there's loads of things. I like a little
and
bit.
Do you do it? Like,
no, but there's loads of things that I know that even now I think I know a lot of stuff, but I know fuck all regarding certain things. The things that I miss most that I can't do and I'm not able to do is stuff like mixing cement or building a wall.
Yeah, but you can do that.
No, I'm not able to do it. I don't know how to do it. And I often say, fucking hell, isn't that brilliant? Look. Or a guy comes out and he goes, what have you got there? I'm putting down the wabbin pipe for the sewerage, for the pipes off the patio. Yeah, you need to have the laser on that. We need to cut down this. You need to get that to cut this and do that and do this and have a fall off. I love learning little things like that.
Practical things.
Practical.
So would you like
I'd love to be able to fix my lawnmower, for example. Instead of fucking bringing it into the guy every year to get a service, I'd love to be able to open up the engine, take out the oil filters, do this, do that, and do this, and then go. I'd just love to be able to fix stuff. I've spoken about Clive on this
Legend.
Show. He fucking can fix and do everything. It's a fucking, just an honour to be in his presence, because the washer's gone on that. Oh yeah, well, we'll just split that open. We'll put a replacement.
Yeah, I love people.
Oh
like that, yeah.
Man. Oh yeah, what's wrong there? Oh, just hanging this. It's broken. Or
they can hang picture frames. They
just,
can
just. I can do all that, but there's loads of stuff.
Would you not like to learn how to do that?
Well, the wall thing now. Tell me, would you like to learn how
I'd
to?
I'd love
like a Connemara wall.
No, like a block, a 4-inch
block. A breeze block wall.
A breeze block.
Ah, fuck that. Why would you not build a normal wall like Connemara people have?
Because that's just normal. You just put stone.
That's not normal. You put
stones on top of stones.
That's you have not, to find
oh,
the
you're
right
fucking
one.
Mad.
Hang on a second.
There's little stones, big stones, sideways
yeah,
stones,
I know
upways
there's,
stones.
There's, it's a craft, it's a tradition. I know there's great ways of building walls in Galway, in the west of Ireland, and Connemara. But what I'm saying is, when a load of lads come in with a mixer and they get a couple of bales of blocks and then they just go. I just think stuff like that would be a wealth. It would just give me the ammunition that I don't.
Would you. The practical stuff that you do know, because you are a practical man, and it was very heartening to hear you say you'll take care of the Sunday dinner and not a bother to you. Like I dream of having that kind of confidence
in his
your
head.
Own
he
cooking.
Makes the dinner, but he doesn't actually.
But would you pass your knowledge onto your boys then?
Well, I see them now looking out the wind at me. I brought Rian out there for a bit of manual labour recently, and it was freezing cold, and we were taking the dirty old rotten nails off the back of decking before we split it.
And how did you persuade him? What did you say to him?
I said, see that, get that, see the back of that, see the back of
no,
that.
No, how did you get him out of the house off the Xbox?
I just turn off the fucking Wi-Fi. And I said, no, Rian, I need you out here. Come on, everyone out. The
other Dad, I'm playing, Dad, I'm playing Barcelona semi-final Champions League.
Well, you see, they mostly get into it during the evening time. So I'd say, I need you outside here. I need you outside. So,
oh, Dad, seriously, come on.
And it was
on.
Even the simple thing of getting the hammer. I says, right, you see the hammer there? You see the back
and
of the hammer?
He loved it.
See the back of the hammer.
Yeah.
Now push that in there, bend it, and you see the way the screw pops.
Yeah.
And he was
flies off into his eye. He's blind.
No, so he was at that for about 8 hours, but he got a bit bored after a while. It's just those little things. I just think I love being outside, getting that bit of physical work.
Yes, you do.
So if I can say, the car didn't start this morning. Pop the hood there, I'll have a look at it.
Like, would you love to be?
I'd love to be able to pop the hood and go. Yeah, the carburetor's a bit blocked here. We'll take, the timing belt is gone.
Like
the timing belt.
Would you love now, say you're driving along and there's a nut after breaking down in a Renault Clio and she's just standing there with the hand on the hip going, oh, Jesus, I'm trying to phone the boyfriend but there's no coverage. Would you love just to fucking swing in and go, I'll sort that for you now.
And she'll go, how are you, Hector? I'll say, I'll have a look at that for you.
Oh, yes.
I'll fix the spark plugs on it.
Oh, and then I'll be fitting.
I think your fan belt has just snapped. Would you betting on you to work with a fan belt? Remember, women used to do that in the movies in the 50s.
My timing belt is gone.
Gangster films. When fellas be on the run to Mexico with some hooah, and she'd car would break down, and she'd fucking whip the cacks off herself
to stop somebody
and tie you together with that, and she'd drive Nicholas into Mexico.
Nicholas.
So
I'd love to be able to,
I drive people like that, past people like that the whole time.
All the time.
And I'd wind down the window, I'd be no use to you, and I'd drive on.
You wouldn't maybe stop and help them with a tyre even.
No, it's like having all the tools that I should.
No, I should.
I really feel that I can learn a lot now, but I really am in awe of people who can fix stuff and who have that amazing ability to do stuff and build it and construct it and fix it, and they know how to use.
But that's
tools.
Why we have.
So that's
jobs.
Something that
that's
I.
What, yeah.
That's what something that I feel.
You'd love to, but
I'd love to get more practical.
But do you do anything like, for instance, like for me, I love karaoke, but I can't sing. But I have to do karaoke no matter where I go in the world. I have to do karaoke. In fact, I've nearly got thrown out of places because of my karaoke obsession. So, like, for instance, me and Audrey would be going on holidays and we were in New York about 2 years ago and we were going from a party to a nightclub. But on the way, I saw a big sign, down Fifth Avenue for karaoke here tonight. So in we went and it was jam-packed and it was hot and it was... Everything was going mad. There was people singing and next thing I went in and you know how you fill out little pieces of paper and I was like, come on. I was like... Madonna, Like a Virgin. I love singing that song. So I always think in your head that you don't have to be able to sing that song to do karaoke to it. So I write it down and I said to your woman, look, will we be, is there a lot, is there a big queue? And she was like, yeah, darling, there's lots of people here ahead of you. You got to wait. I says to her, how?
Deligram.
That's a job for Deligram.
I said to her, how long will I be here? She was like, ages. And you know, she's not interested. I said to her, if I pay you $100, will you let me sing?
No, you
will
didn't.
You put me through? And she was like, Jesus, are you good? And I said, oh, brilliant, brilliant, right? So I'd me, Audrey, this lad that owns bars in New York, David, and Samantha, and we were all with him.
What were yous on? Coors Light, or what were yous on?
We were all evening. It was St. Patrick's Day over there, so we were full as monkeys. We drank Heineken out of green bottles, and we were drinking gins and tonics and vodkas and the whole. Oh,
yous
we
were in your element.
Out of it. And Audrey went to the toilet, and the next thing she says, well, fuck, she says, I was just locking the door, and the next thing I could hear, Like a Virgin. So the whole place thought, Jesus, here is Britney Spears, like, going to, like, she's serious about it, like, she's after paying me on. Well, your one was trying to give me back the $100 and take the microphone off me. She had to unplug. She took out the microphone out of the socket.
Oh, amp. No, Larissa.
Audrey tried to come and sing with me. I was going up and down. I was rubbing people. I was tying. I was putting the wire around their necks and pulling them into me. And she pulled the plug. She was like, enough, honey, enough. Oh. She was like, get out of here. Fired us out. The whole lot of us fired out of the pub. I've done it loads of places. We were in Germany in Hamburg. We were in this tiny little pub, and it was karaoke. And I had the book with me the whole time, going through all the pages. I can sing this. I'll sing Kenny Rogers, right? I'll sing this writing out. I'd 100 slips written out. Next thing I'm singing, this other family come in and they tried. One of them started singing, and I was like, no, I've the book. You have to back off until I stop singing, right? So me and Audrey are doing karaoke, and we're not alone do we sing, we bring the whole action on. Where it's like we're on stage, but we're including the audience as well.
Yeah,
so they're part of it. Like
pitch invasion.
Yeah, you can't. We don't just stand above the stage. Like,
yeah, you give it stuff.
We get
you
10
engage,
out of 10 for performance, but not for vocal performance.
Yes.
Is bad. So anyway, we're in there singing, and the next thing, two cops come in. Me and Audrey thought they were strippers. So we go down, and they were like two Robocops, big, big bucks, right, come in. We started unbuttoning the shirts, and they're like, no, stop, you know, in the German accent. We're like putting their ties into our mouths and pulling them back. And next thing, we're trying to get the bat on it. And he's like, no, I'm a policeman. I'm police. And the next thing, we're like, no, you're not. And we're putting his hat on, and we're like, duh, duh, duh. And we think we're grinding and pumping in on top of them, and they're like, stand back, right, pure thick, right. The next thing we found out, they came because there was a disturbance, that it was a real residential area, and because we were going wild singing, right, it was absolute carnage. Then we befriended this Indian woman. She came in and she said, yo, you're good fun. You can do their accent better. You're good fun. She was like, it turns out she was working in the hospital, and she was living too far away from the city. So she'd go to this pub at night, and she'd stay there until her shift started again. So she'd stay there for the night, and then she'd go to the hospital again if she was working late. So we've like every picture we have from Dusseldorf or from Hamburg is us and the Indian lady and
just
all the pictures.
Exhausted Indian woman.
Just in the picture in the background. But like I could be here for the day.
Oh, you're a karaoke fiend.
We went into a place in Portugal in we got thrown out.
We in Villamora, was it?
Villamora.
Yeah.
Villamora. And there was a load of golf fellas in there. Well, I was lying on the pool table with my legs crossed, the microphone down on top of my mouth, asking them, did they want to come up and sing? And I was grabbing boxing on top of me, and they didn't know what I was doing. Karaoke is my absolute, like, I have to do. If there's a microphone and you're allowed to use it, I'm on it.
Because you know, like,
and I cannot sing at all. Like, I mean, honestly, it's not even that I'm not good at singing. I'm absolutely brutal.
And you do
Someone
see
told me
really
I sang
good.
In three different chords at one time. Like, I cannot sing at all, but I love it.
And you love the performance.
In Miami, I was in a bar in Miami. Well, fuck me. I asked your man, could I have a cordless microphone for this performance?
Out of the street, stopping traffic. Did you ever hear the mic? Excuse me, you don't have a cordless microphone, do you?
I said, I want cordless for this. I said, I need to be able to move. And he was like, okay, yeah, no problem. The next thing. He's trying to get the microphone back off me. He's like, okay, one song's enough. I'm like, no. And then I was putting it in under different names so they'd call me up. They wouldn't know it was me. Yeah. Well,
we're Ronald from Havana. That's me.
Well, and you see, the performance is key, because if you get the crowd on board,
you don't have to,
even if you're
singer.
Bad at singing and you're eating their buttons and you're pulling their shirts and you're taking
it's the
their
performance.
Time, yeah, and you're bumping and grinding on top of them. It's just the best crack ever. So
fucking
wild, do you
woman.
Ever like sing or anything or play like
I've been
music?
In karaoke bars,
well, Hector was the lead singer in a band.
Oh yeah, but you can
Oedipus
sing
Rex.
Though.
Oedipus X.
Yeah, but you
phenomenal
ever?
Navin band.
Yeah, we were phenomenal for about 6 months.
Oedipus X.
Ah, we were top of the. We were
Where
top of the.
Where did she get this Oedipus X from?
Because we did fucking Latin in secondary school.
Oedipus the complex. You
Oedipus,
know the
complex.
Oedipus complex.
No,
like the first
like
song.
Vitamin B, except you love your mother.
Oedipus, that's what it means.
Yeah, if you have the Oedipus complex, you have a little more of an affinity with your mother.
Yeah,
firstborn.
Go into the Evergreen. Give us a dose of the fucking Oedipus complex, will you? And yes, before you know it, you're. Before you
you're
know
back on the breast.
Yeah, you're back on the breast. I love you, ma'am. Fuck
crawling
dad.
Back
Fuck
up.
Fuck dad. Let's kill dad. Let's kill dad. I get knife for stabbing in the face. Fuck dad.
That's the Oedipus
complex.
That's
a different and complex.
Then, and then going into the Evergreen about 6 months later, it's a strong dose.
I didn't need to take one every day.
No, I was a lead singer for a while, but karaoke, I can see that. I prefer, when I go into a karaoke bar, and I've been in them on a lot of places where we've been travelling, I prefer the person who just gives
that
it.
That isn't serious
gives
about
us the,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Gives it socks. Having said that, you do like somebody to sing properly.
Oh, no.
You really annoy me now after a while.
Oh, I
Get
probably
off the
really
stage.
Annoy you. I got thrown Hate out at Lizzie's. I got thrown out of Lizzie's in Villamora, and I got thrown out of that bar in New York City.
Lizzie's in Villamora.
Yeah. Huh? She was like, enough, enough. She like, was like, you must go now. Like Get
the,
out.
Is that like the Spanish Balamagor? What's that?
Balamagori.
Balamalori. What's the story in Balamori? Wouldn't
Lizzie's
you like to know?
Lizzie's down in Villamora. Lizzie's the place in town.
I hate...
Do you?
Karaoke.
So would you
hate
if you saw it on the street, you wouldn't go into a pub with it?
No, I like just drinking on my own.
My favourite place.
Sit in the corner, can I have a treble whiskey?
I like just going into a bar and there's nobody there and I just fucking, I go into the corner with the treble whiskey and a pint of porter and I just look at the wall. I hand my phone over to the barman and says, shoot that cunt.
Have you a charger? No, well, burn it.
Burn that fucking...
Imagine going up to a lad in the bar going, excuse me, have you a charger for this phone? Yeah. Well, fucking burn that charger.
I love going into bars, ordering drink, then turn to the barman and saying, I'm not here. I'm not here. Did you ever say that? That's because back in the day, that there should be a public phone in a bar and people would be people would be phoning the bar.
They know you're there.
They know you were there. So I love saying that.
I'm not here, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not here.
That's great, Loretta. You are the karaoke queen.
Oh, obsessed with it. I'm going to bring you to karaoke
Please
one
don't.
Night.
What television shows do you remember watching as a kid? Now, apart from, I remember Hector used to watch, we all used to watch Dallas and the tapes. It was on the news, Loretta, when the episode that where we were going to find out who shot JR, when the tapes were coming in from America, that made the news.
Imagine.
They had camera crews out in the airport and they filmed the box coming off the plane with the information as to who shot JR. But I was thinking, what television shows do you remember watching as a kid?
My mother used to watch Crossroads.
Oh, Crossroads.
Oh, that became Emmerdale, didn't it?
No, it's Emmerdale Farm.
Oh, Crossroads was the one. They ran
all the Crossroads.
Between 6:15 and 6:45, Monday, Wednesday, Friday on UTV.
And then Emmerdale came on, but she wasn't at that, but at Home and Away.
Oh, yeah, loved. And Neighbours.
Neighbours.
It's Coronation Street.
And then...
The cat stretching himself.
And then right at the end.
Yeah, the cat. Doodle, doodle,
doodle. Oh, all right, Kevin. All right, Sally. Sally, I thought Sally was lovely.
Sally was lovely.
Oh, and then I thought you were behind the bar in the Rovers. Fucking, oh, what's
Bette Lynch.
Oh, no, no. The other one that was on fucking Get Me Out of Here at Christmas.
Oh, the red hair.
What's her name? And she had the leopard. Whoa, what's her name? Liz.
Liz.
And Liz is from the North.
She was a tramp.
Yeah, Jim.
She was married to Jim McDonald.
I killed people before. I fucking killed her on early. I want it. Yeah. Oh, Jim, stop it. Oh, first, I want to take a little bottle anyway. Fucking Albert Tatlock.
Gail's
neck. Oh, I know Gail's neck. Gail's neck was on a separate contract.
And Sally. Sally was a real Sally. Sally and Kevin. Kevin was always stuck it down in the workshop in his hand.
Oh, yeah. The crack of his hair is open.
Sally.
And then we had Rita in the corner shop.
And Mavis.
And Norris.
Mavis. How do we drive into I don't think I'm going to pass Rita.
Of course you are, Mavis. Cop on to yourself.
A couple of years later.
I don't really know.
Years ago, we did that Hang with Hector series. So I hung around with Keith Duffy in Manchester while he was on Coronation Street.
Yeah.
And I asked him at the thing. I said, can I get in as an extra in the Rover's Return? And so we were down at the Rover's Return filming on the street for the day. And then he said, Hector, director says you can come in and have a pint in the Rovers for this one.
Stop
I went,
it.
Yes. So there's a shot of me.
No way.
Yes.
I have to get that.
I will. I'll find it.
That's the best ever.
I'm standing off in the corner with the pint of beer and I'm in the shot. You can just see me go like this to another
and
level.
I love the way they used to pull it.
We'll
they'd
have to
pull,
find that.
They'd pull the arm off the pint thing when they'd be pulling it.
Well, it's not.
It was like a.
It's not draft, you see. So it's just kind of a.
A pumping action.
Yeah, it's a. You're on.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
About something sparked there in your conversation when you said about the junctions and the stations. So my girlfriend at the time, Dipna, who is now my wife,
right,
had moved.
My girlfriend at the time is now my wife at the moment.
My girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife.
It's getting very
and if this
deep.
Is Tommy, you go, who I love very, very much.
Yeah.
Bonus points. Bonus points. You ever notice that?
Yeah. Brownie butts, they're called.
You cross them, I'll head them in.
Oh. My girlfriend at the time, Dipna, had taken a year off university. And I was living on the Aran Islands. I was living on Inishman. So I asked the postman, can I get the double dole? Pat John, could you? Master, we can be sure we missed the double dole or come out of Mort. Come out, Hector. Mort and Shea Law. Kim Fa, Tom Gold Gidji in Basque Country, Turn of Moscow. Oh, Willie, 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 Margaret.
Oh, yeah, Willie, Willie.
And he goes, near Ryan Mobile, I guess, Dutch. Chaclio, Shea Law, Mort, Shea Law, Mort, Double Dole, Hector. Marie, he was, his family had the post office, so they were in charge of all dole on the island. Chaclio or Hector, Double Dole.
Signed off.
Hector, I guess, Double Dole. Shea Law, Mort, by Hector, yeah. Okay. That's fine, we'll organise that. So I got the Double Dole and I headed for the Basque Country. And I got the, I got, I told you about that hitching. And,
yes,
and
all that.
So when I got to Dublin, I took a bus from Dublin to, and the stations is the funny thing, the stations, train stations. I took the CIE bus to Dublin. And then I went down on the bus down to Rosslare.
Yes.
And I got on the boat to Rosslare. And I went all the way to La Havre. And then I got a train from La Havre to Paris, yes. Père Lachaise.
Yes.
The biggest Père Lachaise, one of the big stations.
Right.
Oh no, Père Lachaise is the cemetery where fucking the doors is, Jim Morrison is. I stopped to go to fucking see Jim Morrison and Père Lachaise and Louis Pasteur, who invented pasteurized milk. Yes. I had a big fucking...
What did you want to say was there beside you?
I wanted to see Jim Morrison because I'm heavily into the doors. We'll get to that another.
And you're like, and you're fond of your milk as well.
Yeah.
I like the doors. I like the doors. I like LA Woman and a fucking glass of milk. So I went
nothing like it.
And then I came back to
Raiders
this.
On the Star.
No. Into this house we're born. Ting, 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 ting.
Like a dog without a bone, an actor out on loan. Riders on the Storm.
Oh man.
So the words of every bloody song.
Ray Manzarek goes off then on the Hammond organ. So anyway.
Yeah.
I did all that and then I had to get back to the main station. Now, this station, if you think Euston Station was big, this was like 450. I got thrown out of French in first year, right? Yeah. All I know is Où est la station del train? And I'm heading to the Basque country. So I'm looking for, it's down near Las Landas, they call it, Irún Hendaya. I was looking for Irún Hendaya, which it breaks at Biarritz. There's fucking hundreds of trains and I'm going on. So I go, fine. And I get on the train and I'm heading all the way down through France. And it's about 13 hours and I'm in the carriage and I have my sheepskin jacket on. What happened? About 8-9 hours through it in the middle of the night. The front of the train split and the back of the train in the fork of the road.
Oh, yeah.
The front of the train went on at left.
How did they fucking do that, man?
And the back of the train hooked up with another train and went off on the other fork. There was me with me backpack, me backpack and me sheepskin. And I'm, love this, this looks great. I'll wake up in the morning, I'll be down near Biarritz.
And you weren't, you were in fucking Yugoslavia. You know?
It was nearly Yugoslavia because I woke up, there was snow in the mountains.
You were going through the fucking Alps.
I was heading for
the wrong fork.
Where was the head? I took the fucking, I was sitting on the wrong part of the train.
Balls.
Halfway through the thing, the man goes, Le passenger, whatever. Le passenger, you change. And I didn't change. I stayed. I fell asleep, right? I woke up. I was in a place called Tarbes, T-A-R-B-S. Outside was pine fucking mountains.
What country is Tarbes in?
It's in fucking France, but it isn't down near Biarritz.
No.
I was on my way. This is the fucking truth. I was one step away from Lourdes. I was one station away from Lourdes when I woke up. I was in a place called Tarbes.
That was a sign.
I hadn't a clue where I was. I didn't know anything in French. I fucking just panicked completely because I was now in the mountains. I got my stuff together. I was there, s'il vous plaît, s'il vous plaît. And you're like, Tarbes, Tarbes, le proximo station, Tarbes, Tarbes. I was going, where the fuck am I? I'm supposed to be down on a surfers area down near Biarritz heading for Spain. And I'm up in the mountains and there's snow. I'm going, fuck, fuck this. Like, this is back in the day of no fucking mobiles or nothing. So I hop off the train in Tarbes.
What, is it night?
It's fucking 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh no.
I'm there going, what the fuck? My missus is waiting for me. My missus is waiting for me in Bilbao. I'm fucking lost.
Oh, like one of those scenes from a movie where the train pulls in and you're not on it. And she's looking over the shoulders of other people. Going from side to side.
Where going, is he?
Where? Où est le Hector? Où est le Hector?
Get the double toll spent on the train.
So what? So I get a load of coins. First thing I do is I ring me mother. Mam,
I'm lost.
I'm in fucking Tarbes. She said, where in the name of God are you? I said, I don't know, Mum, but I'm on my way to Lourdes. And she said, that's a calling.
That's right.
That is a blessing. And she, I said, I'm one step from Lourdes.
Did you go on to Lourdes?
No, I said,
No,
Tommy.
It's a pity you didn't wait
to
sleep.
No, Tommy.
You have to go to Lourdes if you have the chance and all the invalids in the water and everything.
It was a knee-jerk reaction. I just got off the train as quick as possible and I'm sitting on the platform in Tarbes. So I, in my broken French, I said, Où est
le train?
Où est le train? À Biarritz.
À Biarritz, s'il vous plaît.
So, to cut a long story short,
yes.
7 hours later,
Jesus,
another train.
The short version.
And then...
You sneery. Don't get me going. I'm not going to fall for it.
What's the long version like, Lisa?
I'm not going to fall for that.
There,
I'm trying to paint a picture.
Yes, we
you're the best painter picture in the world. But tell us
what. So for fuck's sake, when you go on.
I finally.
We've been in tar for half an hour.
Yeah, but I know. But it's a fucking train
and
journey,
you didn't
Tommy.
Even bloody go to Lourdes.
It's a train journey. It takes time.
Yes.
So I got back on the train that went back the way then, and it took the fork in the road, and it headed for Biarritz. And when I got to Biarritz, I had to get to a train from Biarritz to Real Sociedad to Donosti, where Real Sociedad plays San Sebastian.
And from San. Never mind the fucking details. Just get us to Biarritz.
Yeah, I'm in Biarritz now. And then I went to Donosti, which is. And then another couple of hours later, I took a bus from San Sebastian down to Bilbao. And then I got to the train station in Bilbao, or the bus station in Bilbao, and I rang Dipna, and she answered the phone, and she told me to get in a taxi to go to Getxo. And then I took a taxi out to Getxo. And then when I got off of the taxi, and I'll never forget the name of the street, it was called Bidebarri, because that's what the English school that I was going to be teaching in. And then I got out of the taxi, and there was the blonde-haired girl from County Clare waving at me across the street. I went there for 3 weeks, and I stayed for 5 years.
And you're married to her now.
And I'm married her now.
Always wow, Hector. So how much time did your diversion put on your trip?
I'd say
it was a long fucking trip anyway.
It was about 18-hour diversion.
18 hours?
To wake up in the mountains after having a snooze at 4 o'clock in the morning, the fucking front of the train heads for Lourdes and the other train heads
and
for Dibna the Spanish border.
And Dibna must have been
border.
Waiting for you for ages.
Oh, but there was
like,
no mobiles
no
or nothing. There was no mobiles or nothing.
People just fucking coped and copped on.
But I thought it was so cool that I was on the fucking train going to Spain, and I took a turn for Lourdes. One more stop and I would have woken in the sacred mountain of Lourdes.
And you'd never
and
know
then
what
I probably
might
have happened. How are you, Paddy? How are you, Mary? How are you?
I have a very similar type story. I remember it was way back. It was the just gone Christmas 91, which would have meant it would have been January 92. And I'd been a long time in Galway, and I wanted some adventure in my life. So I don't know how I got the money. I think I might have won a pool tournament in Salt Hill or something that Christmas. I had enough to get me as far as Barcelona.
Mm.
So I said, well, you know, nowadays you could book a fucking cheap Ryanair flight and you're gone. But back in them days, you had to kind of sew the trip together for as cheap as possible.
Yeah.
So I decided I would because I'd read about this thing being a possibility. If you met a truck driver down in Rosslare who was heading down to the south of Spain, he might be able to give you a lift.
Mm.
There was loads of stories of that going around Galway. So I got my father to drive me as far as, I wouldn't have been more than 10 or 20 miles the far side of Gorey, I'd say. I won't leave you the whole way, Tom, he says.
I let you off here, Tom.
Go on, fuck off.
That was a real Irish one, eh? I let you here. You're fine here.
And I was a constant disappointment to my father because I'm not the same type of man as he is. He's a practical fucking, he always copes. He always kind of thought I was a fucking idiot, never able to do anything good for myself at all. I remember when the first summer I left school, I went over to England. I came home with the price of a fucking Mars bar, and this fella's coming home with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of euro, but I never found the right work. So I want to impress me fucking father. Did he leave me here, Dad, I'll hitch. If hitched to Rosslare, met no truckers. On the boat, what the fuck am I going to do? Was it a 12 or 18 hour crossing back in them days? Overnight. Slept on the floor. First time in my life I ever felt fucking seasick. Into the bar anyway. Got talking to this. I said, I'll just have to go to one of these fucking truck drivers. So the third fella I went up to says, yeah, I'll give you a lift. I said, I'm trying to get to Barcelona. I've work promised. I've done a TEFL course. I was going to teach English. I've work promised. He says, I'll give you a fucking lift anyway. Boat pulls into La Havre. The cunt is nowhere to be seen.
Uh-oh.
I walk off the boat. What the fuck? It was at night time now, 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, a dark European evening. People of colours that I had never seen before in my life. People speaking languages I'd never fucking heard in my life. He says, fuck it. I'll get the train into Paris. Right, I'll get the train into Paris and I'll fucking arrive there 1 o'clock in the morning. Go around asking hotels. They're all fucking booked up. For some reason, I thought you'd be fucking.
Christ.
I've nowhere to stay. So I'm walking around this square near the train station. Nowhere for me to stay. One of the hotel owners that I had been into comes out and says, you can stay in that room there. But if there's a knock on the door in the middle of the night,
oh Jesus,
this is the name to say that you are. And it was a kind of an Islamic Moroccan name. And he says, there's a good possibility someone's going to knock on the door and shout, who's in there? And this is the name you have to give. Now, my only other option was to fucking stay out all night in Paris. I wasn't going to do that. I said, fine, gave him the money, up to the room, pulled back the sheets. I hadn't been fucking washed in a month. It was disgusting.
Oh, yuck.
I got on top of the sheets. A bang on the door at 4 o'clock in the morning. This loud, angry Arabic voice. Who's in there? I fucking gave the name. But I didn't sleep deeply. Got up the next morning. Got information of where there was going to be a bus to Barcelona. 15-hour bus journey. A walk about fucking 8 hours across Paris with this fucking bag in me back.
Jesus Christ.
Eventually find this bus. I'm fucking exhausted at this stage. Get on the bus. I'm sitting beside these African lads. Big, huge, silent, suffering men. Men who are going fucking through something. I don't know where these fuckers are off to, where they're coming from, but they're not having an easy ride of it. Big. He's a big African man and I'm a little man sitting beside him looking at the window for 15 hours. The bus gets stopped at the border going from France into Spain. These boys are taken off, but they're not allowed into Spain. Bus continues on, arrives in Barcelona at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll never... I felt like Jack fucking Kerouac. me travelling life had finally begun. Yes. And I'd made it. I'd made it as far as Barcelona. Got into the bus station in Barcelona, then took a kind of, I think it was a tube underground to La Ramblas.
Yes.
And
yes.
I booked a youth hostel just off La Ramblas. And I remember walking up the steps in the smell of fucking flowers and fresh air and daylight. Even though it was January, it was warm. It was a gorgeous warmth.
Oh,
and
nice.
The colours and everything. I felt, hola. I'm living. I'm finally, all them years spent on the dole, me after failing the leaving cert, and people thought I'd come to fucking nothing. Well, I'm a legend. I'm in Spain.
Barcelona.
And it wasn't fucking easy, but I'm here, boys. I am fucking here. I had about 25,000 pesetas in my pocket. That was all I had, you know. Went to the youth hostel in a place called Plaza de Real or something like that, just off the Ramblas. Booked into the youth hostel. Felt beautiful, man. In my little room. And I walked out and I'm walking up and down the Ramblas and it's fucking so... People from so many different countries and stuff like that. I see there's a crowd gathered around these people, you know. And I'm fucking looking in. And I'm looking in at them and they're doing that thing where they have the pea and the three cups.
Yeah.
But they're really, they're not very good at it. Do you know, they're a bit shit like and they look scruffy North African. They're like, I'm looking at them going, these poor fuckers, you can't even do that right. I'm just staring at them, their yellow teeth and busted clothes and they're just, And next thing I fucking only realise this looking back on the incident. Next thing, I was on the outside of the circle. Then all of a sudden, I'm on the fucking inside of the circle and I have no idea how that happened.
Well, and
I'm the only fucking white person there. I remember that in hindsight. It didn't click in me at the time.
Mm.
And I'm fucking, I'm looking.
They're moving it.
I'm looking at this thing, but he's not doing it fucking right. Like, it's really easy to see where the ball is. And there's times where he leaves the cup resting on the pee. You can fucking see it. Like, these cunts, they come all the way, they're from an inferior culture. They come over from North Africa and they think they're fucking great, but they can't cope in Europe. They're not fucking clever enough to cope in Europe. And I'm looking at these poor fuckers like. So your man is doing the yoke and it's shit and he's asking a fella over the other side of the semicircle, do you want to play, you know? Then the fella beside me fucking nudges me. Another North African fella. Again, I didn't cop this till afterwards. But another North African fella gives me a fucking dig as if to say, he's fairly shit, isn't he? And I go, he is fairly shit. Now, I haven't slept for fucking 2.5 days, okay? And I'm a bit fucking exhausted and delirious. And I'm excited with the fresh air and the smell of flowers and being in Spain. Anyway, your man comes back to me. Now, I'm looking at the fucking... The pee is resting. The cup is resting on the pee.
Three cups.
Three cups and one pee. And the cup is rest. I can see the fucking pee. Like your man looks at me, the guy who's doing it. He sees me seeing the fucking pee, and then he just gives the cup a little flick to cover the pee. But I've seen it. I have fucking, I may not have passed my leaving cert, but I did fairly see, well.
You visually saw it.
I saw it. I mean, so, I did well in.
Did you see it with your eyes?
I done well in the Drumcondra tests. I'm not fucking stupid.
You
like
saw
I
it.
Saw the fucking thing.
How much so was then, it, Tommy?
So then he says, you want to play? And I says, of course I want to fucking play. Because you boys are stupid. These fucking idiots from North Africa. I'm from Navan. I fucking know everything. So he said, I put my hand in my pocket. Now, I'd paid 5,000 in at the youth hostels. Only had 20,000 pesetas.
A thousand back in the day was £5 was 1,000 pesetas. That's what it
this
was.
This is all my money now. I took out 5,000 pesetas, which was...
25 quid, Tommy.
Yeah, right. This is me. I've been on the dole, like I'm winning pool tournaments. I didn't have fucking much money. And I took out the five, right? And then...
Cinco mil pesetas.
That's a lot of money.
The cunts...
They saw the rest of the money.
And they said, put on 20, you win 40. Put on 20, you win 40. The whole load of them. And I was looking around, put on 20, you win 40. I saw the fucking pee. I saw it with my own fucking eyes. I was thinking to myself, within a minute, I'm going to have 40,000 fucking pesetas. I'll be fucking grand. I get the 20. I said, there, take that, you North African cunt. You're not ride me. I'll ride you fucking sideways, you bastard. You. And he said, okay, which one do you think? I saw it. And I lifted up.
Oh no.
And it was gone. It was fucking gone. Where did it go? They all started laughing at me, Hector. The North African cunts were all laughing at me.
You were absolutely hook, line and sinker.
They were laughing at me with their fucking yellow teeth and fucking demon eyes.
Can you describe that feeling, Tommy? That moment when he lifted the cup?
It was like somebody reached in and just took the heart and soul out of my body and threw it into the bin. It all happened so fucking... Yeah.
What the fuck did you
quick.
Do?
So I went into Plath de Real. The cunts were laughing at me. I went into Plath de Real and I burst into tears. I had a place to stay for 3 days, I think I'd booked in it, but what the fuck was I going to do after that? So that night, it was the 6th of January, it was King's Day in Spain, which is kind of like their version of Christmas.
Not to that day, yes.
So what they do...
Massive day.
They have a big parade down the Ramblas and what you have is they throw out sweets to the children. Well, Christ. I swear, I picked up more fucking sweets. I was baiting you. Get your fuck. I fucking saw that when you cunt.
Standing on a young kid's wrist.
On his neck.
Get your fucking.
Spit it out, you cunt. Get your fucking out.
Get your mano off that sweet. El Noche de Reyes.
You were gathering up sweets.
Sweets. So I had something to eat. I had no money.
I can't cope. This is absolutely.
So, yeah. You just lost about fucking...
What did you do?
Okay, so I went back to the youth hostel owner and I told him that I'd been pickpocketed. And would he let me stay there? He could see that I'd been crying. Will he let me stay for an extra week? He said, okay. The Sunday, then I'd sweets, but my heart was broken. I made, back in them days, people don't know, but back in them days, you could phone home and reverse the charges.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Going to public phone and the operator would ask the person, would they accept the charges? Went to a public pay phone. Like, and what was I going to say to my father? I fucked up again. Will you send me the money to come home?
Yeah.
I fucked up again. You're right, Dad. I am useless.
Yeah.
Was I going to say that?
No.
How are you, Tom? Dad, this is an amazing place. I love it. Everything is absolutely fucking fantastic. Good luck, Tom. Good luck, Dad. Hung up the phone. What the fuck was I going to do? I went down to the building site where they were making the hotels for the Summer Olympics. There's a fella from Navan there, John Sheely. I'll never forget the decency he fucking showed me. I used to go out with his sister. Catherine
Sheely.
Beautiful, beautiful young woman.
But did you know he was there, or did you just run into him when you went to the site?
No, I'd met him in Navan over the Christmas, and he said he was working in Barcelona, and and he said, if you're ever stuck, come down and I'll give you a dig out. But I'd gone over there wanting to teach English.
Mm. Yeah, of course, yeah.
So I didn't have any, only had me teaching English clothes. I didn't have me building site clothes. Not that I had building site clothes anyway. So I went down to John. John gave me the start, and I worked there for 6 weeks, and I earned and I earned and I earned and I earned. And I would say two very quick things. I was walking the Ramblas about 6 weeks after the incident, and I saw the same types of bastards.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the shit, pretending to be awful.
Yeah.
And I just stood on the edge of the group, watching.
Yeah.
Watching. American man and his son were on the outside of the group, and all of a sudden they found themselves on the inside of the group. And I fucking just pushed my way through the crowd so I could be on the inside of the group as well. And your man did the same thing, the cup resting on the side of the pee, and then realising he's made a mistake, or making us think that he's made a fucking mistake, flicking it over. And I could see the Yanks thinking, these North African fuckers don't know anything.
Mm.
We're very clever from America, they're not pulling the wool over our eyes. And I turned to them and I cleared my throat, and I went to say, these boys are having yawn, you shouldn't do that, when this cunt just pinched me.
Oh yeah.
Pinched me on the fucking flesh like that, and I looked, and he would have fucking, if I'd have been standing there with a knife in my stomach
if he had said
I'd fucked this up with them.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The gang.
So I said nothing, and the Americans lost their money. And that was that. And that was my story.
Ah, it's fucking...
About going to Barcelona in 1992.
Barcelona. En el verano de 92.
I was thinking of wonderful people that I'd met, and I realised that the one person I'd love to meet again is my granny. That's such a warm memory.
And what age were you when she died?
I was hitting 20. So
you had her a good while.
Yeah, she was only 74 when she died.
Oh.
But I have such beautiful memories of the woman that I'm not sure what kind of relationships she had with her children, if they'd speak the same way about her. I'm sure they would. But my memories of my granny in Athlone, Mary Tiernan, are so positive, and I can't think of a better example of goodness in the world than my granny. Now, I spoken to my father about her, you know, and my father said, she told me a story one day. And I says, what? She says, the day after my father was born, they attacked Pearl Harbor. And that's how he'd always kind of remember his own birthday.
Yeah.
You know, that the day after he was born, they attacked Pearl Harbor. And he said it to my granny one time. The day after I was born, they attacked Pearl Harbor. And she goes, yes, that's strange. I remember the attack, but I can't remember giving birth to you. But I remember her as pure goodness. Mm. And if I was to think of an example of pure goodness in a human woman.
Yeah.
You know, pure goodness now. Not women you love, like you love your wife or you're very, very fond of your friends. But pure goodness, like a woman who's only side you saw was her good side.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were a fella, a little boy, and she was your granny.
And she loved you.
Granny, but that's what grannies are. Grannies.
Didn't fuss over me. Just gave me freedom and Marmite and jam and have a slice of toast and there's a bit of rhubarb tart that I made. Just pure fucking... I cannot think of a better example of the sacred feminine made flesh.
You see that?
Than me own.
Isn't that lovely?
Own grandmother.
It's the exact same feeling we had about Auntie Ray a couple of weeks ago. Auntie Ray.
Pure goodness.
Yeah.
And that's the feeling. I could feel it off you there. Grannies, even when you say the word granny, doesn't it have that beautiful granny, all encompassing word?
Yeah, but I actually think the word granny is a bit thin, and there's fuck all. There is fuck all that can bait Mamo.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Mamo.
Dado. Jajo's Mamo.
Oh, Mamo is just, it Mamo. Fucking nails it, doesn't it?
Mamo, yeah.
Because she's mommy, daddy.
Mamo.
I don't like mom. Do you like dad? Or is it mam? Would you have called your mother mam?
Mom.
Doesn't matter.
Mammy. Yeah,
depending on what you're looking for.
Yeah, they call me the fool.
Yeah. They keep them outside. And
I suppose. The question was, is there anyone passed away that you'd like to spend?
Who would you like to meet again?
I'd like to meet my father again.
Would you?
Yeah. He's gone a long time.
What age were you when he died?
I'm in my 20s. He's gone a long time. He's gone 30 years plus. I would have liked to have taken his wisdom a bit more and got to know him better than I did, because I didn't really get to know him.
I suppose at that age, you're kind of still...
Yeah,
I
disengaged myself from my father at 12 years of age.
But, which I know there was kind of, he was fond of a drop, but that would have happened anyway. There is a thing of being a teenage young fella and just you push away.
I pushed away heavily. I pushed away, my brothers pushed away, and we learned how to be independent, and we grew up fairly quick. And I look now, I saw a photo, it was funny, my brother sent me a photograph from Denmark the other day, and it was a photograph of him playing soccer with an under 12 soccer team, and there's my father standing to the right hand side of the team, a community games team.
No way.
And I sat and I looked at the photo, and it was all the boys, but I just looked at my father and I said, fuck, he was a good looking man. He had the tash, he had the suit, and he was a businessman in the town. And I went, fuck, I would have loved to have more time with that man, because he died at 50, 51.
Wow.
I would have loved to have swapped some of the stories that I have now.
Same as you are now.
Yeah, I would have loved now to have given him some of the stories that I have, and for him to see the passion that I have in the guy now, he would have been very proud. I suppose my father.
I'd love to have a pint with your father. Mm. If your father, we could have, Hector, you're the same age now as your father was when he passed. We could meet your father downtown the Crane for a pint, and him 51 as well.
Yeah.
Stop.
Be beautiful.
But everyone's situation is different. My father went way too quick, and situations were situations. But if I could turn back the clock, I'd like to just sit in a pub. I'd like to go to Dundurry or Robinstown or Greeka or the Silver Tankard.
Or Maisie's near Trim.
And I'd sit there with my father and I'd hear them stories. He was a good man for the crack as well, good man for the gaff, and he was a good man for the
first stories.
And as my mother would say, you got it somewhere, and I think I got it from both sides of them. The Tuam and Navan. What a great amalgamation of two fucking magnificent towns to have parents from. Your mother's from Tuam, your dad is from Navan.
Oh, that nothing but trouble.
And they gave me fucking all the gifts.
All the talents
To do what I did. And Loretta, on your side.
I think, you know, again, you're talking about stories. I don't think you appreciate it. Like, say, for instance, my granny or her sisters, or I never met my dad's mother and father, you know, never had any experience of them. I try to do it with my dad now and hear stories from when he was young and stuff like that. I think there you go through a large part of your kind of from the age of 18 onwards. You don't really want to take any heed of them and you don't listen to those stories. And then when you get into like your 30s, like I'm in now, you're hearing stories of the old times with your dad, and you're like, you're kind of sorry you didn't ask more questions.
Absolutely.
When you're younger and you're around your granny. Like, again, your granny sounded like my granny. She was just full of love, and you'd go back there and you'd no worries about anything, and she fed you and she gave you like money, and she just, and there was just love there all the time, and just, she was a great woman, full of fun and a great turn of phrase. Like, she'd insult you. You know, old people have absolutely no filter, and they'd say anything. Like, you know, they'd be like,
was she?
Well, you go away, you're faster. You'd go, you know, they'd say anything.
What was her name?
Her name was Annie Brogan.
Annie Brogan from?
Yeah. From Knockmore. From Knockmore.
And the home house is still there, is it?
From Ronagroy. Yeah. Her two sons live there.
Wow.
So they're two bachelors, yeah.
Did you go down to your granny's on a Saturday evening?
Went down all the time because she was close to my house. Like, you'd cycle back maybe after school, or you'd cycle back. Like, you'd walk back. You'd always be there. Like, you could be there all the time.
Grannies were great for tea.
Yeah.
Oh,
and she used to always bake as well. She used to always bake lovely white soda bread and apple tarts.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, she was always baking.
Did you feel when you went into your granny's as a child that it was always warm?
She always gave you red lemonade.
Fire on, 11 o'clock in the day.
The TK red lemonade. She always said that. She used to have the Calvita cheese.
Oh, lovely. With your little one on the box.
You'd have O'Hara's white bread, and the butter would be as thick.
O'Hara's from Foxford.
Yeah.
And you could sit down and watch the racing from Newmarket.
Hey!
Yeah, we used to have all that.
What a low and good butter, a good cheese sandwich.
But there was as much butter as there was cheese on it. You wouldn't know the difference between
on Foxford white sliced bread from O'Hara's.
But here's the challenge now.
Oh my word.
Or there was another woman that we used to mind. Yeah,
here's the challenge. The challenge is for young people in 40 years' time to be having those memories of us.
I know,
and
yeah.
And may we all become great grandfathers and great grandmothers, and in 40 years' time when they're doing a podcast on Mars. And someone says, did I ever tell you about Mamo from Knockmore?
Yeah.
My grandmother was a woman by the name Larita from Knockmore, or my dadjo was Hector O'Huckagon. He was from Navan and he was from Galway, and my dadjo was Tom Tiernan and he lived in Barnet for 69 years.
Yeah.
That may our descendants have great memories of us and may we become great grandparents.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because lovely. Tommy, do you know what you're saying there? At 10:30 at night, when the teenager comes in, he goes, can I put on a pizza? And we, of course you can put it on and put a pizza. Put the fucking pizza on and have whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because that's what our grannies and gave us, didn't they? That's what they found. Do you know, there should be no obstacles. There should be love. There should be happiness. There should be warmth. There should be, oh man, that's a great point. Can you imagine?
Dajo.
Dajo, Xmomo.
Well, everybody, that's the end of this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening and we'll see you down the road.
We have to say congratulations to Mick Constantine.
Oh, yes.
For having
number one. Last Thursday was a roller coaster on the podcast because we released the single All in Aid of the Mayo Roscommon Hospice and it rocketed to number one by lunchtime last Thursday.
Kids Jensen, number one with a bullet.
Yes.
We were number one in the
country. And people can continue to listen to it, obviously.
Yes, download them. And Mick Constantine, it's brilliant.
Yeah, fair play to Mick.
So if you haven't heard the song, it's on iTunes. Mick Constantine, the Tommy and Hector Show, Loretta Bruce song.
It's 99 cent and everything, all the money goes towards the Mayo and Roscommon Hospice, which is where Loretta works.
And we have to sing the fucking, I was going round the house with, Tommy's tremendous glass of whiskey.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Classic. Well done.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll
Cheers,
see
guys.
You next
see you
week.
Soon. Yep.
Well, there's lads listening in Cameroon, in Yemen and Iran, Ecuador, Panama and out in Kazakhstan. Well, don't forget to check your prostate, even your man listening in Kuwait. An Amazon tribe too good to be true, and Hector has a crow to pluck with you. Taking sleeping pills that look very dodgy, you're an isomorphine suppository. A full O'Donnell's pack of crisps out on your own, and trying to find PJ Cullum, Larry's home, going camping on Connemara's coastline. Is there yesterday at all animal of any kind? Hector trying to get a sing-song going, but he feckin' look like Hulk Hogan. A big shout-out to Knockmore GAA and the one and only Auntie Ray. Well, lads using robots when they get frisky, and Tommy's tremendous glass of whiskey. Hector telling stories like no one can. Fween looked tall to him with an Inish man. Loretta outshifting lads on the piss. Do a twirl before you step into her office. Well, it's some show, but sure you already knew it. The Tommy and Hector podcast with Loretta Blewitt.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.